As we learn to write the date, we don't often write the complete date. When we look into history books, that's when we usually come across the complete date. For example, we'll soon be celebrating a new year, January 1st, 1988. But we don't usually say A.D. But if you read the history books and they give you dates, they quite often will add that on, A.D. The boys and girls know what that means? What does that mean? Okay, means after the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, means in the year of our Lord. And so time changed when Christ came. And this is certainly God's marvelous message to the world. Just think how many people throughout this world write that date in 1987 now. How many people write 1987? And that is just a witness that Jesus Christ has come. Every time they write the date, they are giving testimony of the coming of Christ. And that when He came, things changed. And we find the same picture then in John chapter 3 and verse 3, where we read, "You must be born again. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And so, just as the coming of Christ was a change in the history of the whole world, so also the coming of Christ into the life of an individual is a change. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Everything becomes new. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And those who are born once die twice. If you've only been born physically, then you will go to the second death. Those who are born twice die once. Because if you've been born again, then you will not see the second death. And so the question is, how many birthdays do you have? One or two? Have you been born again? And that's the time when there's change. When Jesus comes, there's change. He came to the history of this world, and there was a change. When Christ comes into the life of a person, there is change. And this is what we see in our study in Exodus. We're in chapter 12. And we see here that there is a change. And God here gives this as a picture to show us the importance of change as a testimony to the coming of Christ. In Exodus chapter 12, we have the testimony of the Passover. And the Lord here tells them, this will be the first month for you from now on. You're going to change. From now on, instead of you're having your first month later on in the fall, this is going to be the first month for you, because we are celebrating the Passover. So we want to notice tonight what this Passover was and how Christ is our Passover. Exodus chapter 12, we're going to just take the first half of the chapter, verses 1 through 28. As we read, notice the various aspects of the Passover service that the Jews had, that God gave to them here. And we want to notice then how these elements of the Jewish Passover speak to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 'This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted with fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boil at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. On the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which every one must eat, that only may be prepared by you. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days no leaven shall be found in your houses, since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all the habitations you shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning, for the Lord will pass through and to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. Father, we pray that you would show us from this portion our Savior, the Lord Jesus, in all of his glory, in the redemption that he has by his shed blood purchased for us on the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in this portion of Scripture, there are three things we want to see. First of all, we want to see in this Passover service, we want to see Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, there are many, many pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have, for example, the picture of Isaac. The marvelous way that Isaac was born. After Abraham and Sarah were past age, they were old and no possibility, humanly speaking, of having children, Isaac was born. And that was done for a purpose. It was to give a picture of the coming of the Savior, also by supernatural birth. And so Isaac was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was a picture also as his father Abraham took him up into the mountain many years later, and God had said to offer him as a sacrifice. And this was a picture of God offering his son as a sacrifice. God used Abraham and Isaac then to give a picture of the love of God in sending His only begotten Son as a sacrifice for sinners on the cross of Calvary. We find also a picture in the life of Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery down into the land of Egypt. And it was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Joseph was down there and became the ruler of the land of Egypt, we see a picture here of how Jesus Christ was humbled and became as a man, took upon him the form of a servant, and then was exalted above all principalities and powers. And the picture there then in the life of Joseph of the Savior. And once again here, then in the book of Exodus, in the offering of the Passover sacrifice, the Passover lamb, we see a picture of Jesus Christ. We see, first of all, that this lamb was very specifically selected. And the Israelites were told that 4 days ahead of time, they were to very carefully pick out an animal. It could be a kid, or it could be a lamb. Either one, it had to be less than a year old. It had to be a male, and it had to be without blemish. And we find that this was then a very specific choice, showing us how God the Father very specifically chose His Son to be our sacrifice on Calvary. And this lamb had to be without blemish. They had 4 days to make sure that there was no blemish in this lamb, without spot and without blemish. A picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, chosen by the Father as a sacrifice for sin. And so many times in the New Testament this is confirmed to us. For example, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5, we read that the Lord Jesus was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. And so He was without blemish. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. He was without blemish, without sin. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, that He was a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Corinthians, He who knew no sin was made sin for us. And so we see throughout Scripture that Jesus Christ was without spot and without blemish. And He said to the Jews, which of you accuses me of sin? And so He was the spotless Lamb of God, of which the Passover sacrifice here was a picture. Secondly, we see that this Passover lamb was to be roasted with fire, whole and complete. And this gives us so many pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ endured the fire of the wrath of God at Calvary. And we read that His bones were not broken. It was a complete sacrifice. The lamb was not to be eaten raw. In other words, Jesus did not merely die, but rather He suffered the fire of the wrath of God. The sacrifice was not boiled. Now, boiling would have required dismemberment to get all the parts into the pot for boiling. It was not to be boiled. It was to be roasted whole and entire and complete, placed on a spigot, showing the suffering of fire, the fire of the wrath of God on a pole, all pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ and His death on the cross of Calvary. And then we read here that in verses 21 to 23, that there was protection then by that blood placed on the door of the houses of those who believed what God said. And so the father, the head of the home, would choose a lamb, sacrifice that lamb, and place the blood of that lamb on the doorpost. And as the angel of death went throughout the land of Egypt that night, when he saw the blood, he would pass over that home. And all who were in that home were protected. If any person left that house, he would subject himself to the death that came upon the Egyptians that night. So protection was in that home, and protection was for all who were in that home. And so we see here the picture of Christ and His death, His blood that was shed by His sacrifice, His death on the cross of Calvary, pictured here in the lamb being offered on the night here of the Passover. Now, in this entire picture, we have to remember that in addition to the offering of the lamb and the placing of the blood, there was also the eating of the lamb. And we are told in verse 8 then, the second thing, we not only see Christ here in this portion, but we see in the picture that we are to receive Christ. Here we see that those in the home, in each house, were to eat the flesh that was roasted. Now, only those who were old enough to eat the flesh could partake of this picture of Christ. Even though everyone in the home was protected from the death angel, not everyone in the home partook of Christ. Because only those who were old enough to partake of the roasted meat ate of that sacrifice. All were protected from death, from physical death, but not all partook of the sacrifice. And we see here the importance then that although in those homes the little ones were protected from death, it was the ones that were able to eat that partook of Christ. And so there had to be that receiving of Christ by those who came to the age when they were able to partake of meat. The babes partake of milk, but it's those who are able to partake of meat that are then able to partake of the sacrifice of Christ. All are protected. All in that home were protected by the blood of Christ from death. But only those old enough to partake of the sacrifice would partake of Christ. And so we are told in John 1:11, Christ came into the world. He came to His own world that He had made, came to His own nation. But His own people, His own nation, did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And so, for Christ to be our Passover, we partake of Him. And although there is protection by the blood of Christ, there is only salvation by partaking of Christ. And so we must receive Him. We must believe Him. The Israelites were all protected physically by staying inside. They were inside a home where the blood was. They were protected physically. But they were not protected spiritually. They did not receive spiritual life unless they received the meat of the sacrifice. This was in picture, of course, the picture then of Christ. So only those who partake of Christ, those who receive Christ, receive spiritual life, even though there was protection of physical life by the blood. And so also we have the similar picture in our communion service, a picture of feeding upon Christ in our spirit as we partake of the elements in our communion service. Receiving the elements then is also a picture of the importance of receiving Christ. As the elements are passed, we receive those elements. And that reminds us that if we are to partake of Christ, we must receive Christ. And as we receive Christ, we receive in Him life. And the communion elements are just a picture of that. We don't receive life when we partake of the communion elements. It is a picture of the fact that we receive life when we receive Christ. And so we have in this Passover, not only do we see Christ pictured here, but we also see the importance of receiving Christ. And not only was there the receiving then of the Passover lamb, but then there was a continued ceremony that we see following 7 days of unleavened bread. Now, leaven in Scripture often pictures pride. They were to eat unleavened bread, picturing then humility. They were to eat with bitter herbs, sorrow, and repentance. And so we have a picture here of the fact that in receiving Christ, we receive Him in humility and in repentance. The unleavened bread and the bitter herbs. And, for example, when Jesus Christ was preached by John the Baptist, he preached to repent and believe the gospel. When Jesus himself preached and taught his disciples to preach, they preached, repent and believe the gospel. And Peter on the day of Pentecost preached, repent and be baptized, and turning every one of you from your sins. And so there is a repentance, a humility, and a repentance that goes with receiving Christ, who is our Passover and our life. And so there is the picture of Christ in the Passover. There is the importance of receiving Christ. And there is also then abiding in Christ, because this unleavened bread went on for 7 days. For 7 days, no leaven. And leaven is a picture of corruption and pride in the Scriptures. Gives us the picture then of a continued life that is separate from sin. A continued life of holiness. In 1 Peter 1:16, Peter says, "Be ye holy," quoting from Leviticus, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And in 2 Peter 1:4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And so there is the importance then of a continued life of holiness that follows. And the number 7 is the number of perfection in Scripture, and a number of completion. So we have a picture here then of these 7 days of unleavened bread as a picture of the unending feasting of our souls upon the Lamb of God, and the abstaining, the separation from all form of sin and of corruption. Now, this whole picture is given by the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 6, and verse beginning with verse 53. We read that John chapter 6 and verse 53, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For My flesh is food indeed, and My blood is drink indeed. He who eats My flesh and drinks My blood abides in Me, and I in him. As the living Father sent Me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on Me will live because of Me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever.'" And so Jesus here is giving the same picture that we have here in the book of Exodus. He says, you have to eat My flesh and drink My blood. Now, He's not talking about His literal flesh and His literal blood, His physical flesh and blood, because it isn't physical life that we need. We have physical life, and we eat bread and meat, and we receive from them physical strength. But what He's saying here is that this is a picture in the same way in which we eat of physical food and receive physical strength, physical life. so also we are to feed on Him. We must eat Christ. And so receiving Christ is our soul crying out to Him and feeding on Him in our spirit. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so salvation isn't some external act. These external acts, these sacrifices, these rituals that God gave to Israel were only pictures. And so we aren't saved by any physical act. We aren't saved because we do some good work, or we give some money to something, or we sit in church occasionally, or we give perhaps to some good cause, or we give to the church. Or we are not saved by any outward physical act, whatever that might be. We are saved as we partake of Christ, and as in our hearts we cry out to Him, and we receive Him in our spirit, in our being, in our heart. We must have Christ. Christ is life. He who has Christ has life. He that hath the Son, that's what John says, 1 John, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And so to have life, you have to have Christ. And so Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. In other words, Christ came. He fulfilled this picture of the sacrifice of the Passover. And through His shed blood provides a protection in order that we might have space for repentance. You know, why didn't we die the very first time we sinned? After all, isn't the wages of sin death? Have you sinned? Have you sinned? Maybe once? That time that you sinned, why didn't you die? It's because the blood of Christ has granted patience to God. God has patience, but is the basis of God's patience, in order that we might have space for repentance and opportunity then to feed on Christ. And so death did not enter the house, so that those that were under that protection in the house would have the opportunity to feed on the Passover lamb. And it's feeding on the lamb that gives life. And so we must feed on Christ, and we abide in Christ. We continue to feed on Christ. And so the Christian life is the same as beginning our lives. We begin our physical life wanting to eat and needing exercise. And so also our spiritual life, we begin our spiritual life feeding on Christ, and we continue day by day then with that spiritual life feeding on Christ. And in Him, then we escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so there is this feeding upon Christ day by day. And they were to eat of this Passover lamb in a very unique way. We read that they were to have their belt on their waist. We might not understand that. But you remember they wore flowing gowns. And if you were to go out and walk fast or run, if you were going to be ready to go out for some exercise, you would gather up the folds of your gown all under your belt so that you would be free to run without being entangled in your flowing gown. And so they were to have their belt on, in other words, ready to go. We read that they were to have their sandals on their feet, ready for the road, ready for a trip, their staff in their hand. So shall ye eat it in haste. In other words, ready to go. You know how in the morning you get up and it's late and you have to be to work and you don't have time for breakfast, and so you grab something quick and maybe with half of it in your hand yet, you're out the door and you're on your way. And this is the way they were to eat it. And this also was a picture, in that Christ has died on the cross of Calvary and shed His blood. We must receive Him if we are to have life and feed on Him. But as we feed on Him, we do it in a very specific way. And that also is in our communion service. And we say very specifically, Jesus said to His disciples, do this until I come. In other words, He's coming back again. And so we feed on Him until He comes back again. And so as we feed on Christ, our gaze is always toward heaven. He's coming back again. We aren't feeding on Christ that we might be settled down here in this world. We're feeding on Christ as we are looking to His coming. He said, do this till I come. He also said, behold, I come quickly. And so no matter what your form of eschatology might be, your doctrine of the last things, you better be ready to go at any minute, because that's the picture here. Ready to go at any minute. And so we feed on Christ. We continue daily to feed on Christ. We feed on Christ with that goal and that blessed hope, that glorious assurance that one day soon we're going to be with Him. You remember the Lord Jesus gave a parable of the 10 virgins. 5 of them were foolish. And as these 10 young ladies were waiting for the bridal party to come that they might join that festival, that bridal festival, 5 of them realized that they were getting low on oil, and they quick went out and they got some oil and came back all ready. And 5 just were not concerned. And as a result, when the bridegroom finally came, they were not ready. Their lamps were going out. They were the 5 foolish virgins, but the 5 wise ones were ready. They were prepared. And so also we feed on Christ day by day, looking to His coming, ready and waiting for Him. And so as we think of the Passover, we need to ask ourselves, first of all, do you see your need of Christ? That's the purpose of the Passover. The purpose of God giving this ritual was that the Israelites might see their need of Christ. Do you see your need of Christ? They saw their need because they knew that that night the angel of death was going to go through the land of Egypt, and they needed the protection of the blood of the Lamb. Do you see your need of Christ? Do you realize that tonight, this very night, you might be called to stand before God? Do you realize that tonight the angel of death might come and says, all right, it's your turn now. Say, oh, no, not now, Lord. Not tomorrow. It's your turn now. It's your time now. And so they were very much aware that that night the angel of death would come through. And the angel of death might come through tonight for you. Do you see your need of Christ? And secondly, have you received Christ? Have you reached out with a hand of faith and received Christ? Just as in the communion service you receive the bread and the cup, that's just a picture of what you need to do in your soul, in your spirit, to cry out to Him, oh God, I need You. Lord, I'm lost and undone, and if tonight I had to stand before You, I would have no excuse. I need You. You need to receive Christ. And then thirdly, are you abiding in Christ? That's the continuation, the day by day. This is the 7 days of unleavened bread. Abiding in Christ, you know, no corruption. Delivered from corruption, day by day, by the power of the blood of Christ. Are you abiding in Christ? And are you ready for His coming? Are you ready, watching, waiting for the Lord to come? That's the message of the Passover Lamb. The blood shed, the Lamb that must be eaten. Eaten in haste, because this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Father, we thank You for that glorious ritual that You gave to Your people there in Israel. As they realized the urgency of the situation, they were dead men. And they knew it. We praise You, Father, that to them You gave the secret of life through the picture of Your sending Your Son as a sacrifice for sinners condemned, headed for a lost eternity. We praise You, Father, that by Your marvelous grace You have provided a Lamb. The Lord Himself provided a Lamb, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. And as by faith we feed on Him, we receive Him. We receive life. He that hath the Son hath life. We receive life. And that daily as we continue to feed on Him, we are protected from evil and we are prepared for that glorious day when we shall see Him face to face. Father, we pray for any in our midst here tonight who are not saved. They know in their hearts right now that if they had to stand before God, they wouldn't know what to say. They would have no excuse. We pray, Father, that tonight they would, by Your marvelous grace, cry out in their hearts, "Oh God, I am a sinner. I am lost. I am undone. I need the Savior." And Father, that they might receive Christ, that Paschal Lamb, and in Him receive life everlasting. And that day by day they might then continue to feed on Him, delivered from corruption and awaiting that glorious day of redemption when we shall see Him face to face. We pray, Father, that tonight there would be those in our midst that would come to Christ and in Him find life and might be able to say, "Christ, our Passover is sacrificed for us." In Jesus' name, amen.